Friday, Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. It's educated educators talking about education hurdles, home runs Friday, essential curriculars, as we like to call them here. It's Busted Pencils. Getting ready for the show, though, Jacob, you kind of stopped us and said, I got a curveball. I'm like, well, then hurdles and home runs, I'm going to see if you can throw that curveball and see if I can't hit it out of the park, though, man. So load up, get on that mound, and do what you do to get that pitch and deliver it, my friend.
Here's my pitch, Tim. So on Wednesday, you were talking about AI. It's going to get rid of schools. You want to fire all professors, turn universities into data farms. I understand all that, and I'm with you, Tim. But I worry about our essential curriculars. Are we going to have AI Club from now on? I mean, what's going to happen? Especially because even right now, AI is brand new, but even right now, people are so online. They're talking about, you know, oh, we need third spaces other than home and work. We need to get out more, see more human beings. How are we going to balance that stuff, guys?
Oh, whew. I see it. I'm watching that come in. I can see it, you know, and I got my eye on it. I know what's about to break. And I got it. You know what, though, Jacob? Great question. Great curveball. Hey, you know what? Great hurdles and home runs, because you're talking about the essential curriculars. I'm going to put this out there very quickly. I believe that AI, implementing it into the classroom the way we're talking about, actually creates way more space to allow for way more essentials than we normally do right now. Because if we can use AI to actually take away some of the god-awful busy work, some of the horrendous lectures that we make kids sit through, some of the things where we've got kids who are ready to move, some of them who need a little extra support, if we can individualize instruction with AI and move forward in a way that says, guess what? Actually, we're going to use AI so that we can get these academics really loaded and going. Because, man, we've been wasting your time over 100 years making you sit 6 and 7 hours in rows listening to teachers drone on about things. It's now the opportunity to engage with this artificial intelligence. Let's make, I hate this word, I know people are going to hit hard on this when I say it, but let's make the classroom way more efficient when it comes to academics. And then have way more time to inefficiently explore the essentials. And if one of those happens to be AI Club, sure. But I tell you what, going back to Wednesday, I think this gives us a lot more time to take, you know, for me, a group of kids out in the woods, talk about survival techniques, talk about engaging learning. And yeah, you know what? To build a fire. I would love to spend more time working with students, not just kids, anybody, on those types of activities. I see AI as giving us more time. That's my take on that curveball you threw, Jacob.
And now I see that ball coming right back at me, hits me in the face. I'm down. I will see you guys next time.
I love that. But that's real, Tim. You know, we joke a lot about AI takeover and stuff like that. But I tend to be kind of the skeptic of how much AI is enough AI. But I like this, thinking about how it's transforming the work that's happening for especially teachers. A lot of teachers are coaches and moderators of these essential curriculars. And it gives us a little more time, a little more energy, a little less busy work for the teachers and the students. Let's get to those essential learning moments so we also have time in our day to get outside, to do things that we enjoy that are part of that well-rounded holistic education that includes what we call here on Busted Pencils, those essential curricular activities, not just the extracurriculars, as you know, people out there in the civvies, those civilians out there, those non-education folks call sports, clubs, all those different things. Hey, Tim, though, can I get a moment here while we're in hurdles and home runs and talking Absolutely. About those essential curriculars? You know, we have Jimmy Kay on from time to time, and we're going to get him back on here because he's mentioned that there is, you know, democracy in action in these essential curriculars, that in Wisconsin, especially listeners out there, pencil busters in Wisconsin, you know, this is true in all the states, but especially in Wisconsin, that there is, you know, a governing board, the Wisconsin Interscholastic Athletic Association Board, WIAA, mm-hmm. right, that makes important decisions, and they take recommendations from a committee of coach advisors. So there's a coaches advisory committee that makes recommendations, say, hey, great seasons this year, looking ahead to next year, what are some things we could do? And there's a big meeting. And Jimmy K, he can speak to this more eloquently than I can, so we'll get him on. But there's some updates because that meeting happened, right? There was a major meeting, and they approved some important things that we've talked about here on this segment. Major reporting from that, some big things, right? Changes for football, fall essential curricular, right? They approved a new football qualifying and seeding system. So there's a new seeding system for 11 and 8 player football. Teams are now going to be divided into 7 divisions based on enrollment and a new performance factor. And a new ranking systems will award points for wins based on opponents' divisions, tier 1, and additional points for each victory by defeated opponents in tier 2. So a little bit of a more, hopefully a more, we're always trying to figure out how to make things more fair, more balanced, and increased parity in things, right? Closer competition. So a new seeding system for 11 player and 8 player football. We talked a lot about 8 player football.
We did.
You know, first downs and Friday nights last fall, and we'll be in it again, not too soon, not too far off. But Tim, we talked about 8 player. Remember we talked about 8 player football?
Yeah.
Well, guess what? 8 player football is growing. There's a tournament expansion. The 8-player football tournament in Wisconsin is expanding to 32 teams in 2025. So it's growing, and the season will start earlier to accommodate an additional playoff round. So a little bit of more growth coming from 8-player football, which we've said, it really kind of helps those rural schools, the schools with lower student enrollment. You need a lot of players to have a competitive football team, and schools that couldn't field as many players were really suffering in that. Well, now 8-player football really changes that, you know, and gives that opportunity to more schools to be competitive.
Can I ask a question, Johnny?
Yeah, absolutely, Jacob.
What in the Sam Houston is 8-player football?
Dude, I love
this. Oh, man.
Tim, nice. Let's pop quiz for Tim. Oh. Tim, can you give Jacob and I'll fill in because I'll put you on the spot. Tim's more of a wrestling guy, but he knows about 8-player. Tim, give him the rundown.
Jacob, I said the same thing last year when it was first introduced to me. I did not know. It is, well, exactly what it said. You know, 8 men or women on the field, on either side, not the 11 that is, you know, what we're used to, as we might say, traditional football. And it has been in Wisconsin operating, I didn't realize this, for actually, you know, a significant amount of time. And from the biggest way to say this is that this is actually a really great development for schools that have really lower enrollments. And so making those rosters that can be, you know, when you take a big suburban school, say like in Wisconsin outside Verona, right? You know, the number of kids that go out for the football team that actually, you know, even get dressed. You know, 100. And so getting 11 players out on the field, not a hard thing. You go into some rural areas in Wisconsin and you actually may only have 11 or 12 total students that are showing up to be on the football team. And this is just one of those ways that says, you know what, if we're going to have places like this, why don't we figure out a way to make this, you know, more competitive, more, I even say, you know, fair on the players, because those players get a chance to sit down and break. Because I know this, anytime we played small teams back in the 80s, those kids played both ways, both sides all the time and were exhausted. And so from just that standpoint, it's just an interesting, you know, I was like, whoa, this is really crazy. I mean, would this hurt students if they're, you know, being recruited by Division I schools? And actually talking to Chad and Jimmy K, the answer is no, that this really works out well. Johnny, what do you think? Yeah, did I do okay?
I mean, essentially listener and Jacob, it's a modified version of 11 player football. So three less players on the field on both sides of the ball. A lot of states have modified the field size. So it's a little more narrow. Some of them play like a 40 yard wide field, right? You got less people out there. So you have some rules on offense. Five players have to stay on the line of scrimmage, right? On defense, usually you're removing defensive tackles from traditional formations. They're high scoring. You often see teams going for it on fourth down. So a lot less special teams, right? A lot more, 2-point conversions instead of field goals. And they tend to be high scoring games when played. And Tim, I thought that it was a way, I mean, it's a different beast. The teams that I've gone and watched and yeah. A few of the rural schools where some of my, I teach teachers and I especially teach coaches, being a coach and teacher myself. And a lot of my graduates go, coach high school sports, and a lot of them get recruited to go coach football in our rural districts. And, I've gone to their practices. You have to be in amazing shape to play 8-player football. It is a lot of moving. It is a fast paced game. And it is, I would say like cross country amounts of running. It is a lot of running. So player versatility, you really have to feel, you have 8 players out there. They have to be very multi-skilled and they're responsible for several positions, their speed, agility, and strength. So it's a slightly different game, but it's a modified version, right, of 11-player football. And generally, and I say this with the caveat because it's growing, generally it's for high schools with smaller enrollments, right? Mm. Like Tim said, it's a way to have like a really competitive experience in the sport, to still be, learning skills and practicing those skills and developing as a player. And like Jimmy Kay and Chad have said, and Tim mentioned, it is not less than 11-player football. It is, right. It has become like full on, let's go. A high showcase of skill and football IQ. So we deviated a little bit, but that's good stuff, well, man. Like,
hey. I just have one more question about it, Johnny. Yeah. I mean, could these high school eight player football guys, can they sign NIL contracts in Wisconsin? Or, what's the law on that? What's the rule?
That we're going to have to ask Jimmy Kay about, because
yeah.
I do not have an update on where we landed with the NIL high school discussions.
Oh, I thought
that's name, image, and likeness. Just yep. to remind everybody, right? Yeah.
So which we know is transformed college athletics, but it is, and folks, yeah, we shouldn't be too surprised. It has trickled into our high school athletics and is, part of these meetings being discussed by superintendents, coach advisories. And I don't know those outcomes yet, just researching what happened at the meeting. But I know Jimmy Kay will be on here talking about that. Couple of other small changes, though, to update from that. Volleyball, right? Volleyball, some tournament changes. Teams can now have 18 players. That used to be 15. So, more opportunity for those essential curriculars to be rostered and in those uniforms. And the highest seeded team in volleyball will now be considered the home team during tournaments. So your home team, if you have the highest seed. That's kind of cool, too, because I bet a lot of tournaments – there are multiple schools at those spaces and certain schools host. And it was probably kind of figuring like, hey, how do we determine who's the home team when there are, 8 schools all at one location? Well, it's now the highest seed team in volleyball. Also tennis, big essential curricular also happening right now in our schools, but tennis seeding and eligibility had some updates. New seeding criteria is established for subsectional tournaments. Division I players must now play a minimum of 6 matches during their regular season. And Division II requires 5 matches. So no just playing a couple matches and being in the tournament. You have to have a minimum matches. And smartwatches are now prohibited on the court. Tim, oh. This is a little AI thing, right?
Whoa. So
tennis is prohibited smartwatches on the court unless approved for medical purpose. Okay. And I'm not sure why. We're going to have to ask some tennis experts in our essential curricular world. I know a few. We're going to ask them, why in the world are you banning smartwatches in your essential curricular? Just a couple other, as we're talking about hurdles and home runs, which is spring sports, golf teams now conduct practice rounds at regional tournament sites. So you're going to get some rounds out where the regional tournaments happen. You're going to get some practice rounds in, which is really, I think, going to be helpful to those players right now. Golf season is going strong, right? Five conference realignment plans are approved. So there's some conference realignment in Wisconsin. And don't forget cross country. I mentioned earlier, like, our eight player football, you know, athletes have to have cross country level endurance. Well, cross country added permitting headgear language to match track and field regulations. So you can have, you know, the same headgear you'd have in track and field, you can now have in cross country. Mm. And there's a little update from the coach advisory meeting with, you know, WIAA. And Jacob and Tim, you know, that's just my reporting out.
Wow.
On things. But we'll get Jimmy Kay on here, who's an expert on all these things, because he himself is part of coach advisory as a football coach. And he can speak to some of these things, especially that question, Jacob, that Tim and I are always even curious about. How is NIL, name, image, and likeness stuff, impacting high school sports now, too?
Well, and the question now is truly, how is it impacting? Because as Jacob put in the chat for us right there, it has been approved. You know, and so, yeah, I don't think we're surprised to see that. So I'm just, you know, thinking about this and, you know, trying to wrap this all together and going, okay, well, AI, and this is one of those things, you know what, if you're particularly, you know, an athlete, I do not think I can create a chat bot that will take over the quarterback position on 11 or 8 player football. Just saying, right? I mean, so yeah, you know, Jacob, you know, we can't do that yet, right? I mean, we don't have now. We start, people are like, yeah, Tim, don't you worry though, it's coming. Well, when that happens though, then we're gonna have to have a whole new round of discussions about, can we have name, image, and likeness issues on an AI fully autonomous robot? I don't know. I know I went way out of bounds on that one, but
so far the AI can only play flag football, and that's, and no one even cares. So it's coming.
Absolutely. And I looked it up while we were kind of
the smartwatch.
No, I looked at the NIL approval. So it, you know, like Jacob noted in the chat here, it is approved. You know, the Wisconsin Interscholastic Athletic Association, WIAA, you know, voted in this meeting to approve it. The rule change will go into effect April 25th, 2025. So it's in effect, right? And that Wisconsin joins 40 other states that are permitting NIL deals to high school students. There are, of course, some specific restrictions. These NIL deals must be for activities not associated with a student's school team, school conference, or the WIAA. So it's individual athlete deals. This is outside of, you know, school team or conference or WIA. And students cannot wear their school team uniform in any endorsement deal or use marks and logos of their schools in those NIL deals. And another important limitation different than college is that that boosters who have any connection to the school whatsoever, whether they're alum, a parent, a coach, a prospective coach, or anyone that's given to the school within an athlete's time there, they're not allowed to give any compensation towards an athlete.
So
a booster can't do an NIL deal. So there are some strict regulations around this. We'll see how it pans out. Initially, the coaches' advisory seem to think this is a positive development. So we'll get Jimmy Kay on and see what he thinks. But so far, people reporting out said this is a good step forward in NIL for high school. It should improve, you know, both district sports and these essential curriculars. So let's see how it pans out.
If I could say one thing, and I just really want to hear what you guys have to say about this. I was talking to my Uncle Paul over the weekend about this change, and he's in, you know, he teaches hockey to kids and he knows about coaching, and you guys value essential curriculars as much or more than anybody. One of the worries we were talking about is, well, what if you're the high school quarterback and Al's Orange Chicken restaurant wants you to be the face of their poster and he gives you $2,000 to be the, you know, you can't wear your jersey, but you wear the generic Under Armour jersey on the thing. Are you all of a sudden, you know, totally stressed out every game? Oh, I don't want to lose that thing. And, you know, that $2,000 helps my mom make rent. You know, what are we introducing into the system? Again, I think some of these things are dealt with in college already. So maybe there are lessons we can learn by bringing in, you know, Andrew Luck from Stanford to tell us, hey, what have you seen for college kids? But do you have any thoughts on that? Because I can see how that could be a problem.
I'll go quickly on that. I think that's an incredibly powerful point, Jacob, that we're going to need to continue to keep, you know, at the forefront as these things happen, because people are like, yeah, it would never happen. Oh, I could see something like that happening. And we really need to make sure that anybody is protected from that type of, you know, because in that sense, you're being owned by somebody who's, you know, using your name, image, and likeness. And I'm pretty sure that that's not what's happening when Wheaties might go knocking on some high schooler's door. Yeah. And maybe that's what it is that you'll be looking for, is that maybe you don't want Bob's Orange Chicken Shack using your name, image, and likeness, and you should hold out for Wheaties. That's my thoughts, Johnny.
And you know what? We're learning as we go. I can only speak to this as a college coach. It has changed those dynamics quite a bit, Jacob, and we're navigating that as we learn, especially for college athletes. And I can only anticipate that those pressures will trickle down into high school athletes that have NIL deals. I will say this, too, to offer a resource for anyone out there. You're a parent. Maybe you know a young athlete, or you yourself are a young athlete. You know, the WIA has partnered. I think it's a pretty good organization. It's a Milwaukee group called Influential Athlete, right? It's a Milwaukee-based company, and they focus on advising and educating high school athletes on how to navigate NIL. So if you're interested in those kinds of questions, right, there's a great resource there. Partner at the WIAA, Influential Athlete, right? That's a free ad for them. We'll have to reach out to them. Maybe they want to come on and talk to us on Busted Pencils. But, you know, they really help you navigate the fact that you're still an amateur athlete, right? And so all your rules for eligibility that are required at the high school level are still existing. So navigating NIL can be kind of precarious. So there's some experts out there who can be, you know, partners in educating you on how to navigate that. Whether you're a coach or an athlete or a parent, you know, check that out. Official partner of the WIAA. So I trust that. They do their investigating. So Influential Athlete, Milwaukee-based company, can answer some of those questions as we learn and move through this.
Lot there, man. But Jacob, great question. Great curveball to start off the show. Yeah,
thank you.
Sorry, I was able to keep my eye on that ball, but you know, bring a knuckleball next time.
You gotta have more than a couple pitches, right?
You gotta have more than a couple pitches.
I'll see if ChatGPT can teach me to throw a knuckleball. I'll get back.
There you
on
go.
That.
Go for it, Jacob. Because you know what now is? It's time for your moment of zen. I have no right to despair. I insist on hope.
Hey, thanks for grabbing today's episode of Busted Pencils, Hurdles and Home Runs. Remember to grab great podcasts packed full with more Busted Pencils content on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and of course, on the Civic Media website, or you can always find us at BustedPencils.com, where you can follow, like, review, do whatever it is you like. Reach out to us. We love hearing from you, Pencil Busters. But don't be late for homeroom on Monday. And be sure to grab next week's class in session on Wednesday. And if you don't already know, you're going to love this. You can always catch Busted Pencils broadcast at 3 p.m. Central Time every Saturday across the Civic Media Network stations for an hour of your favorite Blue Collar Scholars, Tim and Johnny, and keep busting pencils.